Coming up on Roundabout, oh Lord, won't you power wash me a Mercedes Benz?
It's soaked on the inside like a pair of Depends.
GM apologizes for offending bikers. No, not the leather-wearing kind that stab people with shivs. The ones that block traffic and ignore street signs. Plus, we take a look at what urban traffic actually costs you, the driver. Stay tuned for all this awesomeness and bucket loads more, only on ROAB. Roundabout is sponsored by Advance Auto Parts. Visit our website, roundaboutshow.com, to get up to $30 off your next purchase.
In Long Beach, California, and from Auto Bytel, I'm Michelle Naranjo.
From the land of too many consonants, I'm Christian Conover.
From slightly right of center, I'm Eric Tritko from Rumblestrip.net.
I'm your lovable host, Craig Cole.
And from the gleaming new control room of the Roundabout Studios in my apartment, I'm producer Ben Sanders. This is Roundabout.
Aww.
Had two jobs to do at once. What do you expect?
A little bit of a delay.
Welcome to Roundabout, episode number 100.
WRAF, baby!
Covering car culture, vehicle reviews, and some of the auto news you may have missed.
It's a great local joke for anyone in the Detroit area. Thanks for that little flourish there, Eric. Very creative. But welcome, everyone. We are back, regrettably, after our little...
Should we reset the clock and call this just episode one?
It's Roundabout Generation 2. We've updated the platform, all new architecture coming at you.
3.0.
We've rolled over the miles.
Yes, we're back at zero again.
I don't think beta counts, Ben. That was like an O point.
Oh, got
beta.
Yeah.
Well, we could call this the binary code episode, all those zero and ones. I don't know, 101? You be the jury, Ben. Don't sneer at me like that.
I say nay.
Okay.
Christian's with me.
Yeah, I understand. Well, little update. I'm happy to report we can officially count ourselves as having fans, plural.
What a way to start season 3.
I know, and international fans, no less. A gentleman from no less than Romania friended both me and Colonel Slanders on the Facebook yesterday.
Are you sure he's not trying to hijack the website?
I can't be too certain, but I don't think with a name like Catalin, I think that's how you say it.
With a name sounds like Catali, it has to be good.
Exactly.
He sounds like a trustworthy fellow, you know? If I had a baby, I would allow him to watch the child if I were away on business. That's how trustworthy the name is.
We're all hoping you don't have...
Well,
baby,
so do I. So we are now spreading across Europe like wildfire or the plague. So I'm happy to report season 3, we're off on a high note. We also had a couple of contests running for the past few weeks. We were giving away a copy of Peter DiLorenzo's book, as well as a Michelin Bibendum statue. And we're going to announce the winners at the end of the show. So make sure you stick around for that. Going to be a lot of fun times to be had by all, or at least the folks we mention.
Mm-hmm. You mean they have to stay through this whole thing?
Mm-hmm. I know.
That's
painful,
kind of the idea,
right?
Isn't it? So, as I mentioned, season 3, and we've got a few things coming up here. We have a new super fan club, we're calling it, for only the most dedicated and diehard of ROAB listeners.
Are you one?
We'll find out.
We've got two now.
Yeah, we've got two in Europe, no
Which
less.
Which one will be the super fan?
So... we're going to give you the chance to prove you're the ultimate ROAB superfan. Listen for details in future episodes of the show. We're not ready to announce anything just yet. Any future product plans.
You're such a tease, Craig.
I know. Well, we gotta keep people bringing them back.
Michelle,
we
can't comment on future product.
This is a soup kitchen. And
what?
Craig is changing his name to Dita Von.
Right?
Not sure what that means, but...
Dita Von Tease. Do you know who that is?
Nope.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to take a sip of water.
Someone show him a picture.
Take it off.
We'll also be bringing you a couple new segments. We need automotive-related questions from you guys. We're going to be bringing an automotive expert technician on the program, and we need your participation. So send us auto repair and maintenance-related queries to our new email account, roundaboutshow@gmail.com.
Or...
Of course, Facebook.
Of course, Facebook or Twitter or the Roundabout Hotline.
Mm-hmm.
Which
Friend-a-roo.
Number? Friend-a-roo.
You could if you're in one of those. If you're...
What is Friend-a-roo?
It's a social networking site.
You don't have a beta yet. You're not invited.
Yeah.
Christian, you need to go all the way back to episode one. Start listening, and then you'll
Do
get
you want
all,
him to kill himself, Ben, listening to all that?
You'll get all these obscure references.
Apparently people do it, Craig.
Hmm. I don't know.
I've had feedback from fans, and yeah, they actually do it.
Fans, plural?
Yeah.
Wow. See, we...
Look at that. The numbers are just skyrocketing tonight.
They're swelling. So, automotive questions. Get those into us. Automotive-related questions. Get them our way. Send them to us, and we will...
Sorry, I wanted to make a DiBartolo joke, but decided not to.
Richard. Michelle loves Richards. Also, we will be launching an epic new adventure game. It's called Car Wars.
was that an Ewok?
X-Wing fighter or whatever.
Yes.
Oh, Ben, that was cute.
It wasn't me.
Oh, Craigie.
We found Michelle's number.
Craigie Von Teese.
Yes. It's an epic new adventure game. We'll be bringing that to you hopefully in a month or so. We're still working out the kinks. We've got to do a beta run of it first, but stay tuned. This is going to be freaking awesome. I promise.
Basically, we can sort of give you the concept. Basically, each of our participants on the show, as well as you at home, mm-hmm. will be able to run your own virtual car dealership.
Car dealership, yeah.
And we'll run through scenarios each week. And
we're not going to tell any more than that.
Nothing more than that, but it's going to be way fun.
Yep. So prepare to have your minds blown. All right. But enough of this teasing stuff. Enough of this promotion. We've probably put half the audience to sleep. Eric, you've got a story. GM is in a little bit of hot water. What is going on? What do they do now?
Well, apparently they were honest.
Isn't that the best medicine, though?
Well, you'd think that honesty in advertising is good, but then again, most advertising is less than honest. However, if you see the link that is below that article, I think that pretty much will sum up what most car people or how most car people feel about cyclists. And the fact that GM had to go about and apologize for this is pretty much explained in this little bit of piece of video from Top Gear Australia.
When people take up cycling, suddenly they think they're all Mother Teresa. They get on this moral high ground.
No, not that you are.
No, I'm not.
All of them. You're saying all of them.
Look, I don't know the percentages. Look, who finds cyclists annoying? Okay. The fact is it's difficult to coexist, so I kind of think we need a public service announcement. Here it is.
Our bike for today will be the smart car, and I will drive it like some cyclists ride, with no regard for the law whatsoever. But first things first, the Lycra. Why? Because it makes me feel sexy. It will also serve as a constant reminder that I am a motorist, acting like a cyclist.
That's helmet on for safety.
Example, the split personality cyclist.
Let's do the bush bike thing.
Fantastic. I'll just duck out in front of it.
Driving on the sidewalk.
Dangerous, annoying,
and smart for
and
two.
Mental. And we're not just talking.
He's in a dry retreat now.
Cyclists are like cockroaches. They pop up everywhere.
Morning.
And this brings us to our second example, the colourblind cyclist.
Red lights may be a bit of an obstacle for you, the car driver, but me, the push bike rider, they don't apply. I'll just ease out round here and off I'll go. Hey! Morning.
Morning.
None of us really like traffic jams, but most of us kind of stick to the rules. Rules for car drivers.
Yes. What if we motorists split lanes like you cyclists?
Get out of it!
As you should. Yeah, you're right.
Thank you.
And what if we were all as slow off the mark?
Takes a little bit.
It's a good video,
it's
Eric.
All right, because
you can watch that in its entirety at roundaboutshow.com.
Where?
You know what's funny? If you scroll to the bottom of the script, look what the last story is.
Yes.
It's the same story. I wrote about the same story.
Oh, good. Aww. Well, Michelle, why don't you give your commentary here.
Yeah, we'll do a twofer.
That was, like, nicely planned, right? Well, I mean, I'm coming from Long Beach has branded itself the most bicycle-friendly city in the country, and I do bicycle a lot. In fact, not having a car right now, I will be on my bicycle all weekend. But, yeah, GM retracted that because they were trying to hit the millennials, right? The college-age millennials, and it's part of their upcoming campaign to convert used car buyers.
Michelle, first of all, what did they retract?
Yeah,
we didn't explain that yet.
They retracted the ad campaign.
What ad campaign?
So they had an ad campaign that was showing a cyclist being embarrassed to be on a bike while a smug co-ed drives by him. The reactions came back huge from the cycling community and from the university crowd that they were trying to hit at, right? And so they retracted the entire ad campaign.
They're
basically saying it was more cool to be in a car and it's not cool to be on a bike.
Well, isn't that true, though?
I'd say, where's the problem?
Yeah. Cycling's a lot of work, let's be honest.
Well, you know, I think it's an odd situation, right? Because in college situations, parking is horrendous, right? A lot of people live really close to campus. There's no point in – I mean, I rode my bike all the way through graduate school. I still ride the same bike. For me to park on campus would have been, like, a ton of money. It would have taken me longer to drive there and find a parking spot and pay for it than it was for me to just ride my bike. And they upset a lot of college people because,
What they should have shown is some northeastern or whatever area, or even like central east coast in January when it's 5 degrees and snowing. And then
I know Stephen and I riding to Kobo.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, they're an automaker. What do you expect? They build cars. Come on.
Well, exactly. I don't know, though, that it's a good idea to go after any sort of alternative transportation. Like, are they going to go after skateboarders? Or are they going to go after...
No, it's like getting upset with a butter company because they make fun of margarine. Like, that's the industry.
I know. But
margarine. Well, any excuse to say oleo.
What made me laugh, too, was that, you know, they were all happy because Lance Armstrong retweeted GM's tweet saying, wanted to let you know we've been listening to the community and decided to pull the ad from our rotation. I mean, my God, like Lance Armstrong just comes along and saves everything he doesn't sleep with.
You see, it was all a ruse from the beginning. They're playing Mr. Nice Guy now. Look, we're listening to the audience, our customers. We're going to pull this ad. See? They had it all premeditated,
brilliant
ready to
campaign.
Go.
Yeah.
And he's
going to
get an endorsement from some, you know, he'll have a spark in no time.
Next, they'll be buying up all kinds of streetcars and shutting them down.
I know, wouldn't that be crazy?
Yeah.
Doesn't Lance have a endorsement deal with Subaru?
Yeah, he does.
Yeah, he does.
So next he'll be driving
Subaru people, they're bicyclists too, so, you know.
Oh, God, every one of them. That's a prerequisite before they'll sell you a car.
What's the over-under on pulling up to Lance's compound and him having at least a Suburban or a pickup truck in there?
Guaranteed.
So. Yeah, I'd say.
He does live in Austin, so yeah, pretty much there's going to be a Suburban.
Shoots his guns
there.
In the air. Anyway,
he's got those children with all those women. So.
Anyway, Michelle, you've got our next article about one very lucky lady.
I did. And this is another bicycling story, ironically, right? When this video horrifies me, because I do ride my bike a lot, this comes to us from Romania. And a woman is casually riding her bike across a marked pedestrian crossing, no less. And a huge truck barrels through the crossing and hits her. Her bike just completely disappears. Presumably, the undercarriage of the truck has the bike attached to it. Mm-hmm. And she crawls across the street to the curb, clearly shaken. You know how they say that if you never forget how to ride a bike? I think this woman probably did because I would never get on a bike if this happened.
See, this would have never happened if she had a Chevrolet. Done.
Right? If she had a Sonic.
There's the cautionary tale.
Exactly.
They should have been grasping.
It's a fable, isn't it?
Sure.
Is it
a myth?
Allegory, I think.
Yeah,
not
when
the
your
vice president.
Drunk at 3 in the morning driving home in their Suburban from the bar, you're better off being in a car than on a bike.
Roab reminds listeners to please drink responsibly.
Yes.
Click it or ticket. So, yes, that she went down, literally.
Oh, God. I mean, it's just, ugh.
And she narrowly escaped the wheels of that bus.
I know.
that truck. Horrifying. I mean,
have you been practicing your mispronunciation? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's really getting pretty extensive.
What are you talking about, Christian?
What are you talking about,
Christian?
What?
Well, Christian, you've got something a little more exciting here. We're going to set sail with your article, so to speak, in luxury.
Uh-huh. Anyway, you guys remember when Bugatti used to build luxury road boats to compete with Cadillac?
Did they?
No, you don't remember that? Well, that's all right. It's probably because they never really did, or at least not officially. Two Californians built them, though, and they claimed they bought the rights to use the Bugatti brand for their vehicle. So they used two 1973 Lincoln Continentals as the platform, and then they did some body and paint modifications and slapped Bugatti badges on the hoods. Now, Bugatti's official records show no cars produced between the 1930s and the 1990s, and given how horrifying these Linkgatties are, it's probably for the best. I don't know if you guys saw the pictures, and for listeners, you should go to the show notes on roundaboutshow.com, but these things are just horrifying. I'm sorry.
I remember seeing these, and my dad, I would say, what is that? And my dad would go, oh, it's a kit car.
They're not even like, it's not even a kit car you'd want to order. It's just terrible. Mm-mm.
It's terribly awesome. Look at that swoop along the side.
Yeah, it looks like something Cruella DeVille would drive.
Yes. Now, we've got Jason White in the chat, and he, car designer, he doesn't seem very pleased with it. He says it is amazingly hideous.
It's there is no good angle on this car.
No. I don't know.
It's like my makes the Excalibur look tasteful.
That swoop is what you call a character line.
And the funny thing is, if you look at the interior, it's like, really, they're going to put a Bugatti badge on a car that has that interior? They didn't do a damn thing.
They didn't need to, Christian.
I see.
So it's settled.
Yes, well.
Yeah, no, it's just, oh, God, they're...
Yeah, there you
definitely
go.
Definitely should look at the pictures if you're in need of
Let's not. Ford is celebrating its 100th birthday in England. That's right, it's been selling vehicles in the rainy archipelago for an entire century. To mark the occasion, the company is hosting a number of parties and special events, and let me tell you, it's more than just Christmas crackers and Yorkshire pudding. One of the more bizarre things it's undertaking involves jewelry. The Blue Oval has commissioned some custom pieces from a designer named Catherine Hawkins. But rather than using rare stones and precious metals, she's crafted some interesting baubles out of parts from a 2012 Focus.
Great.
Yes?
I'm just wondering, is that Stephen's sister?
I was wondering the same thing, Eric. Does she talk like a robot? We'll have to contact Ford to find out. No crankshafts or other heavy-duty pieces were used. She concentrated on interior bits like instrument needles and center stack buttons, and the results are interesting to be polite, downright fugly to be honest. As always, you be the jury, roundaboutshow.com. Any thoughts on these things, guys?
I think Jim Hall is going to demand a new brooch.
Yeah, exactly, after this.
Remember, Craig, art is in the eye of the beholder.
Do you like these, Eric?
Remember, Craig, art is in the eye of the beholder.
Would you buy one for Catherine for Christmas?
No.
No.
I love gold!
So no.
I guess not. Michelle, you're the artiste. You're always crafting, knitting, crocheting, welding, whatever you do out there. Horsery.
I know, I crochet for my horse.
You made that serape.
She has a really cute poncho for fall.
What is your stance on these particular handicrafts?
I mean, it's kind of a clever little thing for Ford to do. I know a lot of artists that do this kind of stuff. It's kind of funny that Ford sort of like commissioned her to do these pieces and make them so high profile. Like, I don't know.
It's very Etsy.
Yeah, very Etsy. And they're probably trying to appeal, right, to that crowd.
Crafty crowd.
Yeah, crafty. Okay. You know, the glue gunners.
Well, our next story involves... Craig, go ahead.
Hey, Craig, you mentioned serapes.
Yeah.
And I don't know, I think that's becoming the new style trend, because when I went to the Monday Night Football game this week, there were a ton of people who had both lions and Bears serapes they were wearing at the game.
Really?
Yes.
Is this a new fashion trend?
You need one, Craig. If you don't have one this season, you're out.
Could I just buy, if I didn't want a serape or a srape, however you say it, could I just take a blanket and cut a hole in the middle of it? And
you
wear
could
that?
Even take a section of newspaper.
I mean, that's what the original serapes were, but.
Yeah, just take a section of newspaper, put a little pinhole that your head will fit through.
I'm just going to say, be careful where you cut the hole.
Michelle is.
This is different than something in a box, right?
Exactly.
Eric, we've got another story about handicrafts here. Some guy is playing around in his garage. What can you tell us? What's he made here?
Well, if you weren't aware, and I'm sure you weren't, pulse jets are really cool. Just take 5 minutes to search on YouTube for pulse jet, and you'll find the next 10 or 12 hours of your life gone. It's a bit like playing the game Civilization. You keep thinking to yourself, oh, just one more turn, one more turn. Suddenly, it's dark out or it's light out. It's 12 hours gone. That's just like watching pulse jet videos on YouTube. If you're not aware, pulse jets are very simple items, and they're a very well-known technology. In fact, the V-1 rockets of Nazi Germany were a pulse jet design. Early fighter jets were pulse jet designs. Even the first Lear jets used pulse jet engines. Well, for this story, the gentleman, and we'll use gentleman lightly, took a pulse jet, no idea if he built it himself, which is very popular, or he bought it over the counter. He straps this on to a very cheap remote-controlled truck that he got from Radio Shack. As you can imagine, when you put any kind of thrust at a very high center of gravity, especially the top of this truck, which wasn't real stable to begin with, things just aren't going to turn out real well. On about the fourth attempt to drive this truck, it becomes broken beyond repair. So he tries to be cute and then will, limp it on three wheels. And after about the fourth attempt, actually makes it to a grave and buries it. So very cool concept, very cool idea, very poorly executed.
So what was his idea here, you think, to get the thing to just basically shoot off down the road?
To have a very high speed remote controlled vehicle.
Yeah.
So rather than just use the electric motors, he was going to use this mini pulse jet as propulsion for the vehicle.
You see, that Dodge Ram has enough ground clearance. He could have mounted that thing in the undercarriage.
Underneath.
Yeah. Where it might have had a chance of working, but driving it on dirt where there are hills and rocks and stuff.
Ben, you should fire up the video so you can hear what one of these pulse jets sound like. I mean, this is a very small one, so it's got a weird kind of tinny sound to it versus more the normal ones. Let's just say they aren't exactly quiet. You're not going to want to fire these things up at, say, 10 o'clock at night in your neighborhood.
Are they getting married now?
They're having a funeral. Oh, it's like the clippers at a barbershop. Oh,
yep.
Well, that's a great little article there. A little treat, if you
that's
will.
That's a neighbor I don't want.
Let's put a bunch of pulse jets on the Focus.
Oh, that'd be fun.
Give it some power. That way, if Christian and I ever got in a drag race, I'd have a chance.
It makes me think of, I remember there was a story of a
London
guy.
London burning, I know.
Out at what's the Air Force Base north of Las Vegas? I forget.
Andrews?
No.
Area 51?
Nellis Air Force Base is in Las Vegas.
Yeah, so
I'm just making stuff up.
Some guy decided he's going to take some old, basically a booster, the boosters they put on B-52s and stuff to get them off the ground when they were loaded down, and decided he'd stick a couple of them in the bed of his truck, and met an untimely death with the side of something.
But was it really quickly. Untimely?
Yes.
That's a fair point.
That's
actually.
Like a famous Darwin Awards thing, right?
Yeah, that's
like,
yeah,
crashed right into the side of a cliff.
That's all I can imagine.
Anyway,
same kind of thing. Anyway,
Michelle.
Yeah.
You know what to do.
There isn't even an H in that one, Craig.
What? I can read.
Well, please go.
blatant abuse of power, or just the way things are. A records clerk for St. Clair County, Illinois, misfaxed 3 pages to the local newspaper instead of the prosecuting attorney. For a case of a copy of a speeding ticket and a handwritten note that read, "Dismiss this case," and "The guy is the son of one of our deputies." Turns out, despite City Hall trying to evade the issue, the $175 citation for doing 43 in a 20-mile-an-hour zone was issued to the 18-year-old son of a sheriff's deputy. The joy of small-town living.
And
suckers got served.
Ben was waiting his finger over the trackpad.
The Roab Morning Show.
Yes.
I mean, how do you miss facts? I mean, do you think it's like butt dialing, like you butt facts people?
Michelle, maybe she was morbidly obese and mashed the keypad. She didn't have a dialing wand. Boop, boop, boop. And then it went through. Maybe she just dialed newspaper and it went.
I'm wondering if the newsroom purposefully got a phone number that was like one digit off from the
probably
prosecuting attorney, just in case somebody was stupid enough to do that.
That'd be a very astute journalist there, wouldn't it?
I suppose. Yeah.
So anyway, Christian, you've got a story about floaters in Venice.
Yes.
What?
With widespread reports of unemployment and the European economy that's collapsing, a group of Ferrari owners have somehow managed to ignore all of it and set records for conspicuous opulence. Members of Ferrari Classique recently rented a barge in Venice and floated a number of the classic Italian thoroughbreds through the canals. Why? Because they have too much money and not enough taste. Hopefully they chalk the wheels with euros and douchey Ferrari polos.
Oh my God, occupy Venice now!
We can't do that, Michelle. Too many people would cause it to sink.
They'll be rioting in the canals.
I'm setting up a tent. In a
hang on. Title idea. Christian, I believe you've got an article here about Ferraris in Venice.
Yeah, I think we just did that one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Pretty sure we did, Craig. Mm. Pretty sure.
Remember you just wrote a show title about it?
No, I don't.
Ben, is the Alzheimer's really getting that bad?
I think so.
Craig, I think you got a story about someone, a Mercedes and its wacky owner.
All right. Oh.
Someone at work today made coffee without putting a filter in, and Craig acted all indignant, like, who did this? I have a feeling Craig got in early and did that and forgot that he did it.
And you know, I found, Michelle, I found an alarm clock in the freezer. Who puts an alarm clock in the freezer? Clearly it's for blenders.
It was time.
Anyway,
you have to know when his ice is going to be ready.
Well, you know, everyone makes mistakes. I'll be the first to admit. But there's a not-so-fine line between error and being a complete dumbass. Take the Macedonian gentleman in the following video clip, for instance, which we found on Autoblog. He power washes the inside of his shiny new Mercedes-Benz CLS. Let me repeat myself. He power washes the inside of his car, spraying the door panels, seats, and dashboard with a high-pressure jet of water. He does this after mortified car wash attendants refuse to honor his request. All I can say is, bye-bye electronics. If he was looking for a flood-damaged car, I'm sure there are plenty left over from Hurricane Katrina. Hey, what's that smell? Oh, right, black mold. Idiot.
And why is this on video?
Probably one of the car wash attendants was like, what? An idiot.
Well, I mean,
he whipped
what
out
do you
his
think
iPhone?
He did in that car the night before that he needed to do this? I mean, seriously.
I think short of a power washing would just, yeah.
You know, a Tata Nano, an International Harvester pickup truck. Sure.
A Honda Pilot,
yeah.
Not a Pilot, Element. The other one. Element, yeah.
Yeah. The dog edition, yep. Spray it out with the rubber floors. But this, what would psychological profile? Why is this guy spritzing the inside of his car?
Because he's retarded.
He's not spritzing. He's power washing.
Or he just has way too much money and doesn't even care.
That's probably it.
Duh.
So, hey, Catalin, however you say it, why don't you pay your Balkans neighbor a visit and slap him for us? Please. Think about it. So, Michelle, why don't you tell us?
I hear there's a story about bikes.
We've got a story about bikes.
No more bikes.
No, you're right. It's time for a break. So, hey, stick around.
Thank God.
What?
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 Stick around for more great times with Eric, the original recipe Rumblestrip, Christian Conover from the Wheel Spin Network, and Michelle Naranjo. Yep, that's how you actually pronounce it. Up next, we'll check our blind spot to find out what traffic jams actually cost you. We'll get to another stupid car trick and, back by popular demand because Ben wanted to do it, Lie of the Beholder. So stay tuned.
Yay.
But right now, I've got to talk about our good friends, our dear friends at Advance Auto Parts. They're like dearest leader, Kim Jong-il. They're dear friend. They're not quite, they're eternal friend, maybe. Yeah. So if you visit
They've reached eternal friend status.
Yes. Kim Il-sung of the auto parts business. But if you visit our website, roundaboutshow.com, right now and click on the Advance Auto Parts link in the right-hand sidebar of the page, that is your ticket. It's an all-access pass to major savings.
Oh, my God. Luke just said in the chat room he got new wipers from them last week but forgot the coupon.
Luke!
Oh. You're taking money out of our pocket.
I hope you're happy, Luke.
Luke, you've just earned a ROAB level down.
Ooh, it sends chills up my spine.
I like the new sound.
It's like the brown note.
Just to hear it.
So anyway, a very special exclusive offer that is only available through roundaboutshow.com. Click on that link that I was mentioning earlier in the sidebar, and if you spend $30 with Advance, you can take $10 off that order. If you spend $50, take $20 off, hit $100, and you can chop $30 right off the top of your bill. That's almost a one-third savings right there. Just for going to roundaboutshow.com, clicking on the Advance Auto Parts link, and entering the promo code when you check out. Now, again, it's very important that to get these deals, you have to follow the link on our website and remember to enter the promo code. It is listed on our website right underneath the advertisement, and you enter that promo code at the time of checkout. So,
it's a steal.
Well,
that's
thank you,
true.
Christian. I couldn't have said it any better myself. And I got to mention the free shipping. If you spend $75 or more with Advance, they will send the stuff wherever you want, to your door even, free of charge. Of course, you can always opt to pick them up right in store if you prefer. That's what Jefferson Ross does. He's got a store in Advance right about a block from his house or something. So that's what he opts to do since it basically is his home. But free shipping on orders more than $75. So again, that's 10 off 30, 20 off 50, or 30 off 100. Advance Auto Parts, we thank them for their support of the Gyratory Hour. So next up, it is time for our hotly anticipated blind spot story of
the
week. When news topics go unnoticed, are underreported, or otherwise fall off the radar, they land in our blind spot. And this week we've got a little ditty coming to us from Autoblog, we found it there, about how much time and money traffic jams can cost you. Now this is a real eye-opener. I read these numbers and I was frankly quite shocked. Now Christian, you live in a suburb, or very near, one of the worst cities in the United States for traffic.
Indeed I do. Jeez. That is true.
See, I would have never, not being terribly knowledgeable of world travel, but I would not have thought Washington, D.C. would have had as bad a traffic as, say, L.A. or New York. But apparently it's number two on the list.
It's a cluster bleep.
Is it?
Yes, it is.
Why? What makes it so bad?
Well, for exactly the reason you said, it's people who, you know, live in the suburbs, so the public transit doesn't extend far enough out. And it's not extensive enough to get them to a hub, so they just drive.
The city was designed. The city and the area was designed for traffic, say in the 1700s and 1800s, not the 21st century.
So buggies.
There's no such thing as rush hour because the government's 24/7.
There's definitely rush hours. Trust me, because it is the government, so it operates from 9 to 5, okay. And everyone gets the
and
hell out,
like okay. Half the year.
And that's the problem. It's everybody leaves at the same exact time because it is the government, so everybody's on the same exact schedule.
You are the government, if I'm not mistaken, Christian.
A small arm of it.
You work for the Naval Observatory. What do you do at the Naval Observatory?
I don't work at the Naval Observatory.
Well, what would you do there if you did?
Excellent question.
Let's role play, shall we?
Let's pretend I'm Joe Biden and you're my new assistant.
Work somewhere you've never been.
You could work with Joe Biden. So number one on the list of cities in America, Chicago. I'm kind of surprised by that one as well. I would have thought, again, New York or maybe L.A. would have been worse. But Chicago. Eric, you've been there many times.
Yes. I actually lived there as a kid.
Hmm. Is it as bad as it's all cracked up to be?
Yes. Even you'll get stop-and-go traffic on the freeways on a Saturday.
Oh, joy.
Yes.
Yeah.
So this chart, which, let me scroll down, was compiled by CarBuzz.com, estimates that the yearly delay for your average Chicagoanite, Chicagoan, what are they?
Chicagoan, I think.
Chicagoan.
A white citizen.
White citizen.
It's the white citizen.
Well, I was trying to think, do you say citizen? Yeah, citizen.
Is the average yearly delay for someone that resides in the Chicagoland area is 70 hours.
Oh, my God.
That's almost 2 work weeks. The average cost per driver, more than $1,700.
So how do they calculate that cost?
Well, let's read, shall we? Traffic congestion occurs when a volume of traffic or a modal split generates demand for space greater than what's available given a road's capacity. This is called a saturation, and there are a number of circumstances that can cause or aggravate congestion. Research and common sense has shown that most traffic jams reduce the capacity of a road at a given point or over a certain length. The number of vehicles and a given volume of people or goods are also causes. In the United States, about half of all traffic jams can be attributed to sheer amounts of vehicles. The remaining half is caused by road accidents, construction work, and extreme weather. However, even the most advanced research cannot fully project under which circumstances a traffic jam, as opposed to heavy but smoothly flowing traffic, may suddenly occur. So I don't think that actually answers the question, but it certainly...
You're a good reader, though, Craigie.
Well, God bless you, Michelle.
So what I'm wondering is like, the amount of gas burned, like, the
it's
hourly wages
be.
That they're not earning, like...
Well...
I don't know.
Well, I'll give you an idea. So I could leave here at 8 o'clock in the morning, and I could spend an hour and a half of my time driving 28 miles to work.
That was...
Wow.
And then I could get to work and leave at 5 o'clock and spend another hour and a half going the 28 miles back home. So instead, what I do is I start working about 8 o'clock in the morning and I work until about 10:30.
And get the hell out of Dodge.
Takes me 30 minutes to get to work then. And then I go and I do my meetings and then I leave about 2:30. And I'm home in 30 minutes, and I'll continue working until about 6. And I actually get more done because those are work hours I'm losing. 3 hours versus an hour is severely unproductive.
Brilliant. Why don't you just ride your horselet? You'd probably get there faster.
Horselet?
I know, right? It's true.
Yeah. So let's just run down the list of the top 10 most congested cities in America. As we mentioned, number one is Chicago. Number two, Washington, D.C. Predictably, Los Angeles is number three. Four on the list is Houston. I would have thought, you know, Texas. It's kind of surprising. Texas is a big state, maybe more spread out. I wouldn't have necessarily.
Plenty of room for roads.
Exactly.
You've obviously never been to Houston.
I have not. So, been to Dallas a couple times, but never Houston.
Houston has a ring road, which if you're inside the ring road, forget
it's horrible.
Yeah. Well, not
That's
a lot of room to shoot.
That's the worst city on earth. It is.
Smells good there too.
what is it, like refineries, paper mills? What?
Yeah, between the stuff that washes up on the coast there because it's on the Gulf Coast, plus all the refineries in the area. Yes, it's a lovely, lovely scent in July when it's 118 degrees and 100% humidity.
Lovely community. Number five on the list: San Francisco. Average driver loses 49 hours a year and more than $1,100. Next up, Boston.
I don't get why anybody even owns a car in a place like San Francisco or New York, for that matter.
Yeah.
Well, that's the thing. It's like, but actually, it makes sense why New York isn't as high on the list because they've got so many people, and yet, you know, they've got such an extensive public transportation system that it makes sense. You know, like they've more people than anywhere else in the country, and yet it moves along pretty smoothly. So.
Next up is Boston, Dallas, Seattle, Atlanta, and New York. 42 hours a year for New York at $999. So quite a value in the top 10.
It's a deal.
Yes. half the price of Chicago. So there you go.
So if you want to get a really good deal on your commuting, then move to New York.
On your commuting and traffic jams?
Yeah.
If you want to get a deal on the worst?
Yeah.
It doesn't make sense.
It doesn't have to. It's that, traffic jams.
That's,
you
know, ROAB
logic. Right there.
When I was in New York the last time, Craigie, when Stephen and you and I were hanging out, I was also hanging out with Suzanne.
Who?
And Suzanne Dinbo,
Not familiar.
And Suzanne made this statement. We were walking down the street one day, and she said, you know, if we lived in New York, we'd never be sober because we'd be walking everywhere. We would just drink all the time.
Be horribly intoxicated.
It's probably true.
So
my car keeps me online.
Is that what your meeting leader told you to get a car, drive everywhere?
If you just rode the horselet, you wouldn't have to worry about it. You get home.
You could train her to get you home like a carrier horse, carrier pigeon.
She could, I have a bicycle.
So the average commute
doesn't get you home for you.
Average commute for all cities one way is 33 minutes, 12.8 miles. The average fuel wasted in the United States in traffic jams, 3.9 billion gallons. And that works out to what the Alaska pipeline flows for 130 days. 47% of people who have been surveyed claim they've canceled plans due to traffic. Have any of you guys done that? Just like, oh, it's too much to drive.
I use that as an excuse all the time.
Okay.
Nope, never
so
done
if
that.
We all drove Chevy Volts, then we wouldn't be wasting gas.
Exactly. So, worst traffic jams. Tokyo, 1990, 15,000 cars stretching 84 miles. Berlin, number two, 17 million cars stretching 79 miles. That was back in 1990, probably around the time the wall fell. So there was a mass flux of people from the east, I would imagine. The worst of all time, though, was Paris in 1980. 18 million cars, 109 miles.
I wonder how many of them just surrendered and walked home.
That's funny.
You made
right
a
there.
Joke about the French.
They were
That's
all on,
right, Michelle.
They were all on strike at the time, too.
On strike and surrendering?
Selectively sticking to their principles.
Well, you can't remember. Never give up your Galois. Never give up your baguette.
So top 10 worst commuter cities in the world?
From my cold, dead hands. Oh, wrong thing.
They don't have guns in Europe. Just ask Mirko. So top 10 worst commuter cities in the world.
It was a play on that about Galois and baguette there, Craig.
I don't know what you're talking about. Just steamroll.
Top 10 cities.
Paris, Milan, Moscow, New Delhi, Bangalore, Johannesburg, Mumbai, Beijing, Shenzhen, and the worst in the world, Mexico City.
I just want to make a quick correction. It was not Mumbai. It was Nairobi. But
oh, yes, it is.
Weird font.
Asia, Africa, you know, close enough.
What's
to that
the difference, Christian?
That half of the world.
If we needed a fact checker, we would be paying for one right now, okay? Yeah, there you go. Next on the rundown, Ben, I believe it is time for another stupid car trick.
Go on, boy. Go get it. Come on now.
I hope he has good insurance.
Ugh. Is he in good hands?
So this one blew my mind. I don't know about you guys. Eric, have you ever seen a stunt quite like this one before or since?
Sure, on TV. With an NBA star.
Not familiar.
Huh?
What is said stunt, Craig?
Ben, why don't you tell us?
Why should I?
Oh, I guess you're right. So there's this guy. He can jump stuff, and he does jump over moving cars, driving at him at a high rate of speed. It is nuts. Crazy talk.
And he's Swedish.
But not just any car, Craig.
He's Swedish, and he's jumping a Lamborghini.
Yes, he is.
You guys have nothing to say?
So I gotta wonder, who owns a Lamborghini and is crazy enough to let somebody jump over there? Like, He's like, yeah, I'll run my $200,000 car under you. That's a good plan.
And you know how long it would take to scrub the blood and gristle from the front end if you did impact him? I mean, come on.
It would take a lot of money. I mean.
And time.
And time, but mostly money, because he's not going to do it himself.
He doesn't have to. And imagine if he got minced in the undercarriage, if there were a mistake going on.
It's a really messy prospect.
Yes, it is. Burning flesh on the exhaust. I will pass. But I just saw this, and I thought it was freaking crazy. Apparently nobody else did. Or nobody else watched
it. It's disturbing. It's really disturbing.
You watch it, like, I don't even... Because it doesn't look that hard when he does it, but... I also wonder, how do you practice something like that?
Yeah.
And how did he calculate how fast the car had to be moving so that he would clear it?
All excellent questions. I have no idea. But I see a lot of a very thick medical record preceding this.
A lot of
that
scar tissue.
I have forwarded you the video from the Kobe Bryant commercial from, I don't know, about 4 or 5 years ago.
I'm surprised there aren't laws in Sweden against this. All right, what's he doing here? Is Kobe Bryant putting on some shoes, I guess?
Oh, the secret is the shoes.
Isn't it, though? He's wearing moccasins.
Always the shoes.
Is it a commercial or a viral video?
Yes.
Some sort of stunt.
Yes.
Both.
It's one of those really, you know, new age commercials that's trying to be viral.
Mm-hmm.
And
oh, he's gesticulating.
He did in fact jump.
That's nuts.
Sounds like he just jumped an 18 wheeler. What was that?
It was a BMW 6 Series 18 wheeler.
Or
something.
Or perhaps an Aston Martin.
It could be that too.
Craig Cole, I work in the car industry. An Aston Martin, a BMW, same thing.
Any difference?
It's like Nairobi and Mumbai.
Nairobi. Yeah. Well,
six of one, half a dozen of the other.
Well, if you guys had the same dementia that I did, you would
be true.
More sympathetic.
We can't expect you to remember.
It's true. He's disabled.
Carl, remember that time waiting at the bus stop?
Yeah.
No, you don't.
So that is our stupid car trick, Ben. We have one last segment to get through this week.
That we do.
Everyone's favorite.
This is Christian Conover's specialty.
And what's it called?
You tell me.
Lie of the Beholder.
It's the Lie of the Beholder.
Oh, yeah. How's this work, Christian?
I love what you say, Ben.
Ben's got a good vibrato.
Not so much.
Anyway, the way this works, Ben, is I'll read a press release for a real car, but the names have been changed to protect the innocent. Your task is to guess what car we're talking about as early on in the press release as possible.
Ford Econoline Club Wagon.
And no, you lose 3 points. Because if you guess early enough and you're correct, you can earn up to a maximum of 10 points. And if you're wrong, you lose 3 points. So
at any point, as Christian reads the press release, if you think you know the car, just yell stop. Stop and guess the car. We'll find out if you were correct or not.
Should in a traditional quiz bowl manner, should we buzz?
If you indeed have a regulation legal buzzer, please do use that.
Or your mouth, either one.
Or your mouth.
Mouth parts, okay.
Okay, everyone buzz with your mouth.
What?
When you have an answer.
Okay. Ford Econoline Club Wagon.
But wait, we won't know who buzzed in.
Well, we need
all
signature
right,
buzzes. Does,
okay,
Eric, so. What's your buzz going to be?
Me, me.
That's a sound drop right there. Michelle? That's
gosh,
not,
Ben.
Should you lowrider Southern California horns, maybe?
Michelle, you'll go, auga.
I could do La Cucaracha.
That works even better. Give us a demo, Michelle.
Ben laughs like Roseanne Barr.
And what's yours, Craig?
What should it be, Ben? I don't know.
No, that sounds awful.
That's like Bigfoot.
Meow. Meow. Meow.
Okay, whatever.
Whatever. You're a moron, Craig.
How about stop, I have the answer?
Because you know I'm not going to do something that mundane.
Hey, but say it in a funny voice, it'll sound like a horn.
Stop, I've got the answer.
All right, that works.
Or how about this?
Okay, that'll be... You're the Wookiee.
Fine.
All right. Let's get on with it, shall we?
All right.
All right. Let's do this. And let's see if I can get the names right this time. Yes.
You have a guess?
Lincoln Town Car.
Do not say the Econoline. I swear to God.
Fine. First car. Next
let's
car.
Let's read this press release, shall we?
Yes.
Smithson announced today that his 2012 Tortuga will begin arriving in dealerships this autumn. Quote, Smithson prides itself on being an innovative brand with a lineup of iconic vehicles that set automotive trends, end quote, said Chantilly Rothschild, vice president of Smithson. The Tortuga will redefine its segment as the choice for new urbanites who want clever transportation without sacrifice in style or new features, he went on to say.
Yes, Craig. Yes.
The Chevrolet spoke.
Chevrolet what?
Spoke.
Nope. Lose 3 points.
Plus 3 points.
I think it's minus.
I think he's so diplomatic. No, I think it's minus.
Sorry, Craig. All right. Go on.
Meeting the needs of a new trend-setting generation of urban drivers, the Tortuga succeeds at taking big ideas and concentrating them into a small package.
Me.
Yes, Eric.
Scion IQ.
Hey!
I was about to say that!
Amazing. That means, yep.
Eric gets 15 points.
You level up to 9 points.
Go ahead and finish out our press release while I will assign 9 points to Eric.
All right. Made possible by intelligent and functional packaging, the Tortuga is a small car that offers the functionality and comfort that drivers expect from twice its size. Yes, Craig.
Aveo.
Minus 3 again.
Are you just the Richard Hammond?
Aneo, Craig. Aneo.
Henry made popcorn.
With a unique suspension design consisting of McPherson struts up front and a compact torsion beam rear suspension, the three-door hatchback can deftly maneuver through city traffic. In addition, its overall length... Yes, Michelle.
Didn't we already pick a winner?
We did.
Well, so minus 3 points automatically.
Good.
What's your pick, Michelle?
I've said Veloster, but...
All right, good.
Ben doesn't even know what to say.
I don't think we're real clear on the rules here.
Yeah, so once somebody gets the right answer,
they're
not guessing anymore.
Right.
But she wanted to anyway. So, anyway.
I think the horns are backfiring.
Christian, that's enough out of you.
I'm not backfiring.
Fair enough. Let's just skip to the next press release.
Okay, good. So it's the Scion IQ. We get it. All right. Next car. Hildebrand Coachworks unveiled today its all-new Ocumax battery drive. The company's first ever all-electric passenger car.
Ocumax? Is that a hygiene product? Wait, what? Wash your contacts in it? I don't...
God. The zero CO2 emissions gasoline-free version of Hildebrand's popular small car is the flagship... Yes?
The Chevrolet Spark Electric.
No.
Chevrolet.
Chevrolet.
You are wrong. -3 there, sir.
But you're still in the lead because currently Craig is at -6. Michelle is at -3. Eric is now at 6.
Man. Anyway. The zero CO2 emissions gasoline-free version of Hildebrand's popular small car is the flagship of the company's growing fleet of hybrid, plug-in hybrid, and all-electric vehicles coming to North America and
Europe.
Yes, Michelle?
It's the Mitsubishi iMEV.
No.
Oh.
Yes, Craig.
The Mitsubishi iMEV.
Ben, I'm not even gonna...
Yeah, let's just go on.
Quote, Ocumax Battery Drive is the flagship of our new family of electrified vehicles. Yes, Craig.
Prius V.
No.
Nope. But it's family. There's more than one. Fine.
Showcasing our commitment to offer consumers choice when it comes to fuel-efficient or fuel-free vehicles, end quote, said Leanne Cole, Hildebrand Group Vice President for Global Product Development. She goes on to say, its advanced powertrain will deliver significant energy efficiency advantages and zero CO2 emissions without compromising driving enjoyment. Yes.
Nissan Leaf.
Nope.
But it's zero emissions. They're always pumping the emissions.
It's not the only car that doesn't have emissions.
Zero emissions. I'm right.
Need less emissions.
You're losing. You're losing.
Well, you're not helping.
And its suite of smart driver information technologies will transform the way customers think about energy usage and their transportation needs. The OcuMax battery drive will launch in late 2011 and is designed to offer enough range to cover the majority of daily driving habits of Americans. It will offer a mile per gallon equivalent better than the Chevrolet Volt and competitive with other battery electric vehicles. Yes.
Is the Toyota Prius plug-in?
No.
Can I buzz in for Gorski C? He had a suggestion.
No.
He said Chrysler Pacifica Electric.
Negative.
Clever. All right. Continue, Christian.
All right. Let's see. A full recharge is expected to take half the charge time of the Nissan Leaf with the home charge station. The sleek and stylish hatchback leverages Hildebrand's global C-Car platform.
Ford yes. Focus EV.
Yes.
All right.
Ding, ding, ding.
Christian,
ding.
Tell us how many points he got.
Ben, he earned 7 points.
Wow.
I'm in the positive.
No.
You need another one of those to get there.
Craig currently stands at -8. Michelle is at -6. And Eric at 3.
Ding, ding.
It's Celebrity Jeopardy.
Swords.
It's worth the risk for me.
Go ahead and let's go ahead. And
the rapist forward. For 500.
Yes.
Do you want to move to the next press release or do you want to finish reading?
No, we don't need.
We'll jump to the next one unless you want me to finish it.
Read the last.
I'll keep guessing.
Read the last two paragraphs because I think this would have tipped it off.
Okay. OcuMax battery drive is the culmination of years of research and development, said Cole. More importantly, it's the start of an exciting new era for Hildebrand and our customers. OcuMax battery drive introduces new features and technologies, including a unique version of the My Hildebrand Touch Driver Connect system.
Where did you come up with Hildebrand?
That's awesome.
Ben's like, I don't know. I was doing acid and, you know, yeah. There.
My Hildebrand Touch. That's good. Let's see. The Connect system, especially for electric vehicles, a new value charging feature powered by software giant Furmanhard.
What?
Furmanhard?
Man,
there's a T on the end of that. It's
like
Furmanhard.
Now, I was going to say, it's a DiBartolo moment.
Yes, it's DiBartolo. Gorska C is lolling.
It's a smartphone app called My Hildebrand Mobile that helps plug-in owners control their vehicles remotely.
Like an RC.
Sure, maybe with a pulse jet.
All right, what's our next one?
Our third and final.
I'm done here. I am done.
Yeah.
Christian says you and everyone else.
You're a dumbass, Craig. I hate you.
The last car we have tonight.
Did you need to die already,
Craig? Quiet. Not your
last
segment.
Last year, the all-new Phalanx provided Maltar a great leap. Oh, hang on. Last year, the all-new Phalanx provided Maltar a great leap ahead with an affordable midsize sedan offering world-class body structure and major gains in roominess, comfort, convenience, and safety. Many customers who bought the new car representing one of this division's most highly respected nameplate found the quality and content of an Accord or Camry without the stigma of a high price. Little has been changed in the Phalanx recipe for 2012.
Yes, Craig.
I just wanted to make that noise.
Negative.
Kia Optima.
No.
Craig.
Yes, Michelle.
Elantra.
No.
Who?
Also no. Not that either. Yes. Little has been changed in the Phalanx recipe for 2012. The color of the cluster trim plate has been changed from gray to black for better appearance, and all Phalanxes are now certified as a transitional low emissions vehicle, or TLEV, in 49 states. Exterior design is best described as a tasteful blend of international and traditional themes, eye-pleasing proportions, an integrated front-end treatment, minimal brake work, and sculpted surfaces. Maltar designers were striving for a subtle, handsome exterior appearance, and feedback from customer clinics confirm that this objective has been achieved. In stark contrast to import brand competition, the Phalanx is fully equipped with everything demanding customers expect in a mid-sized family sedan, and then some. The Phalanx interior layout begins with a cockpit which places instruments and controls as the top priority. A shroud over the instrument cluster sweeps right to also encompass the centrally located sound system and feedback control. Yes.
Chevrolet Malibu.
No.
No.
I will at this point, we're halfway through, and I'm going to let you know that you guys were so good at this last time, I might have made it a little bit difficult.
So, I didn't play last time.
Oh, but I knew how good you would be, Michelle. I just knew. So I will tell you that this is not necessarily a new car.
Right.
Oh.
And not necessarily a 2012 model. I may have changed the year.
Like how old?
I don't know. We'll say, all right, I will tell you this, because there's lots of cars out there.
No.
It's after 1990.
Oh, that really narrows.
Oh, Lord.
Ford Taurus.
-3.
Damn it.
And the Maltar family of infotainment systems is conveniently positioned above HVAC for easy access. Subtle wood paneling gives the interior a warm, luxurious feeling. Face panel air vents are neatly integrated into the windshield pillar trim. And the ignition switch is dash mounted, so there's no twist of the...
I think you already said this one. Damn it. Chevrolet, well, Malibu, but I want to say classic. Chevrolet classic. Because the vents mounted up at the pillars.
Nope.
You mean I'm right?
No, I mean you're wrong.
Oh.
Okay. The ignition switch is dash mounted, so there's no awkward twist of the wrist necessary to start this Phalanx. And instead of rotating the key 135 degrees, as is usually necessary, the arc between off and start positions is a more convenient 90 degrees. Feature-conscious customers are sure to have a field day with this new Phalanx. Virtually every new car or truck on the road has a cup holder or two, and the Phalanx provides one for each outboard passenger. Drivers who enjoy their morning coffee on their commute to work will particularly appreciate a pull-out cup holder conveniently located to the left of the steering wheel. The list of standard features includes some items that other models can only...
Yes, Greg.
Oldsmobile Cutlass.
Oh, my God!
Got it.
Earning 3 points.
That's it?
You waited to the end of the day.
No five. No high five. How do you like that?
Well done.
Well, yeah, it's the pull-out, the ignition switch mounted under the dashboard, the air vents up here, pull-out cup holder, sold it. And if it wasn't the Malibu, it's got to be the Gutless Cutlass. That's all there is to it.
It was, in fact, the 1998 Oldsmobile Cutlass.
Ben,
yes,
you got a healthy dose of clever over the last week, and you applied that liberally to this show. I'm impressed. That's crafty thinking. That's out-of-the-box thinking, and that's not something we're used to seeing from you.
Thank you.
He's generally pretty bland.
What a fantastic
bland.
Underhanded compliment.
But he's really stepped up his game. He's gone from vanilla ice cream to...
Twist.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll give it to him.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I really like the last two paragraphs in this.
Okay. Well, let's see what they got to say. Some owners mistakenly believe that DRL wastes fuel and shortens headlamp bulb life. Actually, both effects are insignificant. The extra fuel consumption amounts to an extra 2 gas tanks over the full life of the vehicle.
Which
the
is 50,000 miles.
Is too small to measure.
I think that's funny because did people really think that?
Probably.
That was like a big issue.
Remember there was a whole issue about daytime running lights and if that was going to cost more gas. Remember we talked about that on one of our really early shows.
Really?
Mm.
Like in the 1990s? edition of Roundabout.
Way in the 1998.
We did.
I was in middle school.
Episode negative 400.
Yeah, we were doing this show in middle school.
There was AR and BR.
Huh?
AR.
After ROAB and before ROAB.
Oh, very good, very good.
Or it could be AB and
after ROAB.
Because it could be like before Banofsky and after Banofsky.
You're not supposed to name him Michelle. Now
he's
aspirated on popcorn. Someone do the Heimlich.
All right, let me tally
Henry!
Up our let's tally right. up our points. Let's,
how much did I win by?
Let's see.
I lost it.
Let's see here.
Eric won with 0 points.
I'm sorry.
Eric
I want to read this.
In.
I want to read this last paragraph.
Okay. All right, go ahead.
And this looks pretty astounding to me. The act of buying a new phalanx is also out of the ordinary. Retail personnel who greet prospects are schooled at Maltar's very focused training at the Vision Center in the fine art of consultative sale practices.
Stick them for as much as they've got, right?
This method keeps the customer in charge with knowledgeable agents available to assist the selection process. Maltar's straightforward approach to selling and servicing his cars has already proven to be a major hit with hard-nosed shoppers who expect and deserve the most car for their money. Something about that just sounds...
That sounds like Saturn. Slime.
I know.
Or fascism.
I should have put it earlier so you would have guessed Saturn.
Yes. Yeah. You're a crafty one, Ben. Always conniving.
When I scanned over it, I thought they were literally meaning like somebody was going to like an eyeglass store and learning how to sell.
Sexy specs.
DOC. Man. All right, Ben. Who was the winner and the loser?
There's not.
Ow.
All right.
Where are you finding all these H's, Craig? I've never heard.
What are you talking about, Christian?
Question.
Christian.
Coming in at 3 points, we've got Eric Tritko.
So he was he third or was
coming
he...
in at negative 9 points, we've got Michelle Naranjo. And coming in at negative 14, we've got Craig Cole.
I played conservative.
That means that Eric Tritko is this week's winner.
Ooh, I'm pickle in the middle.
He doesn't get a sound effect. He deserves one.
Sound effect, sure.
Winner!
Great. Eric, congratulations. You're a sportsman par excellence. Whatever that means.
I just want to thank Crayon Breaking for telling us our other sponsor.
Who is our other sponsor?
The letter H.
Luke, that's hilarious.
Episode title.
I was going to say.
ROAB 101 brought to you by the letter H.
I'm going to put that at the top.
You should do that.
Butt facts. Right.
It's funnier than anything you said.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Anyway.
That is Lie of the Beholder.
Play the sound effect again, please.
The Lie of the Beholder sound effect?
You know which one to play.
You know.
Sing
you
for
know,
us, Ben.
You know which one I like.
It's the Lie of the Beholder.
I think it needs a little echo. Mm-hmm. If I'd had time, I would have put
it.
God, Ben, I can so see you with a mullet singing that.
Karaoke.
And Eric's
somebody
hat
with
on.
Photoshop,
wearing a
quickly.
Bright red velour suit
I
with
want
a ruffled
a mullet
shirt.
On Ben. Stat.
Bow tie.
You got it. Business
Photoshop
up front,
Army.
Mildly entertaining and back.
Well, on that note, Christian Conover from the Wheelspin Network, wheelspin.tv.
Yes.
What's going on in your world at the Naval Academy?
Still not there yet.
The Naval Observatory.
Nope.
Well, what the Navy then? I don't know.
Not that either. That's all right.
Coast Guard.
All right, we're batting 500 now.
Minutia.
Take it off.
I love anyway. How enthusiastic you are in that sound effect, Michelle. You're like screaming, take it off!
I know, it's because you wear that Jesus shirt, man. It gets me all excited.
Oh, God.
Oh, my Lord.
Christian, with two A's.
Yes.
You know what to do here, so plug.
Okay, yeah, Wheelspin Network is wheelspin.tv, the roundtable program over there. Sorry. Take a shot. And... we also publish this fine program, Roundabout Show. That also goes over there. And recently started putting up the Crossed Flags podcast from our good friend Jonathan Brown, Corvette show.
I'm not familiar. What's that like?
It's like a Corvette show.
Now, Christian, I understand you're the host of Roundel Table.
I am.
Are you more exciting in that role than you are here?
I don't know. Maybe you should listen and tell me.
Where can I find this Roundel Table?
I believe you can find that at wheelspin.tv. Or actually, you can just go to roundeltable.com and take
Dude, you're getting a Roundel Table.
I think that's going to be a show title at some point. I'm going to stick that in the back pocket.
Well, write that down. You can have it royalty free if you pick it up tonight.
Write that down, Ben.
Mark it.
Mark it, Ben.
Eric Tritko.
Yes.
You are the Rumble Strip.
No, not the Rumble Strip, just Rumble Strip.
Okay.
He's the Rumble Extremist.
He's a humble strip.
He's a Rumble Strip.
He's a humble strip.
What is going on in your world? What have you been driving? What have you been reviewing? What have you been up to?
I had two Ford F-150s back to back. I had the 3.7 liter V6 model, and then I had the EcoBoost model.
Awesome.
And I do have to say the 3.7 was just fine, although it is a little odd to have a pickup truck shifting at 7,000 RPM.
That thing screams up top. It's nuts.
It was good. And the EcoBoost was very nice as well, although until you looked at the price tag when it was $49,200.
Yes. Little price.
And I do have to say that the parts of the interior do not at all equate to a $50,000 vehicle.
Well, they mimicked elephant hide on the dashboard, I think, for the graining of the plastic. So,
yes, and it was about as thick as...
It wasn't whale? Paper.
No, Michelle, whale. It was not.
But no, dark. No.
This is not a... We're talking about Ford, not Darts Prombron.
I stopped myself. I didn't say it.
400 gallons or whatever.
I guess I have a Lexus ISF coming next week. So
yowzas.
Oh, that's fun.
Yowzas. Well, thank you, Eric. Where can people find out all about this stuff you've been up to?
Occasionally, I post my reviews on rumblestrip.net. Not okay. Often enough. You can find me on Twitter at rumblestrip and elsewhere on the Google Plus at Eric Tritko.
Very nice. Thank you, Eric, as always. And I'm sorry you missed episode 100. That was unfortunate.
Well,
and you too, Christian.
I made a cameo appearance for episode 100.
No, we wish you could have been here.
I think you should have stayed on camera.
Yeah. But, you know, next episode 200 then. Agree to disagree.
Sure.
Michelle Naranjo. E-I-E-I-O. Yes. Naranjo was her name-o.
That's my name-o.
Yeah. What are you doing at the Automotive Bytel?
Let's see. I've been this week in Vegas for the J.D. Power's Automotive Internet Roundtable. That was super interesting. And I'm a bit Vegased out, though. I spent some time with our good friend Joel Fetter and watched him lose like a whole bunch of money.
Yeah.
He didn't tell Karen he took out of their personal account.
Oh, that's nice.
But she doesn't listen to the show anyway, so she won't know.
Most people don't.
Yeah.
Well, very nice.
This week, I'm actually in town and going to be working in the office all week. And I just did a Primer podcast at primerpodcast.com last Sunday and talked, I don't know.
Scott in Cleveland posted something in the chat. I just saw this. I'm sorry. Sidetrack. It's Big Bird holding an H.
Very good.
There's your artwork.
And there's the artwork.
And right, there's for Michelle, there's probably another podcast she should plug that came out this week, right, Michelle?
It's true. It's our October edition of the Open Line Show, and it can be found at Ben.
It can be found at bit.ly/openline, bit.ly/openline, or just go to autoline.tv and click Open Line in the channel bar.
It's that easy.
We have my own channel bar now.
Woohoo!
Yay, me!
Margaritas!
That's right.
All right. Well, thank you, Michelle. Always a pleasure having you, as well as Eric and Christian. We appreciate your efforts. So we've got a couple housekeeping effort things we have to get taken care of here this week before we sign off. So bear with us a minute. We had two contests running. We were giving away a Michelin Man, this little statuette here. Charming little fellow. It's a numbered limited edition figurine. Number 189 out of 200 made. And as you can see, it's a nice little Michelin guy, Babendum. Very nice. We're giving that away. And the challenge was post a comment on a picture of the statue that Ben posted on our Facebook page, facebook.com/roundaboutshow. The best comment wins. So we are giving this away to one lucky winner, and that one lucky listener, and that is Brad Rader, who commented on our page, as I said. And his comment we thought was the funniest of all. He said, and I quote, "I want my babendum, babendum, babendum ribs, roundabout babendum ribs." So, Brad, congratulations. We'll be shipping this off to you. So, awesome work. Also, we are giving away a copy of Peter DiLorenzo, the Auto Extremist book, Witch Hunt. Nice. Hardcover. That's genuine hard coverage right there.
You can hear it.
Yes.
Does it cost more?
You betcha. Has it been signed, Ben?
No.
By Lorenzo?
No.
Perhaps it should be.
Perhaps it should be. Maybe.
We shall see.
No promises.
No promises. We're giving this away.
No demands. Love is a battlefield.
Now, the challenge for this particular prize, Ben, you saw a vehicle in a parking lot.
Of a Best Buy.
Crazy-looking vehicle. Mm-hmm. Something yellow, like a banana type thing.
Sort of yellow, I guess a kit car.
I don't know.
I don't
something
know.
Hideous. Facebook.com/roundaboutshow. You can see it. Just scroll down a little bit. We picked a winner. We also picked an honorable mention and a runner-up, both of whom will be receiving roundabout stickers in the mail. So get in touch with us if you hear your name called. So honorable mention goes to Joel Ratz. Baja Busta.
Yay, Joel!
He commented, he called it the Pontiac Tezcatlipoca Maze Edition. I'm assuming that's Aztec or something. Not sure, but made
that
us laugh.
That would probably be the joke.
That would
Pontiac,
be
Pontiac, Aztec, Pontiac, Tezcatlipoca.
I see what he did there.
Yes,
that makes
clever,
sense.
Clever, clever.
So he will be getting a Roab sticker.
Congratulations, Joel.
Runner-up is David Bishop for his comment, short bus sport.
Oh, I love it.
It's hilarious. But the winner, who gets the book, who's taking it home, Witch Hunt by Peter M. DiLorenzo, editor-in-chief of AutoExtremist.com. The winner is Jeff Crew for his lengthy comment, although very funny. So I will read it here. He said, "It's the new GL1000 from Renzo Motors. This epic machine is the carbon offset vehicle for all the fun cars they produce. Underneath the banana skin exterior is a balsa wood constructed hug-powered monster. The horn sounds like a puppy bark, bubbles come out of the tailpipe, and its headlights shoot rainbows. The all-new NGL1000. You will never get laid." Congratulations, Jeff. This book, Peter DiLorenzo's Witch Hunt, is all yours. We just got to get it in the mail. 4 to 6 weeks for delivery. Probably longer.
So why don't you, Jeff? Jeff was the winner, right?
Yes, Jeff Crew.
Email roundaboutshow@gmail.com.
For shipping instructions.
Exactly. Send us your
address.
His self-addressed stamped envelope.
No. We pay for shipping.
Ugh. Ben pay for shipping.
Yes, Ben pays for shipping.
So. Is he going to have to file this on his taxes?
Probably.
Yeah, anyway.
As a winning.
I hope that's not a problem.
Don't miss your chance to win $100 by listening to Roundabout on your smartly equipped telephone using a little applet called Stitcher. Just go to stitcher.com/roundaboutshow. Then when you register your new Stitcher account, don't forget to enter the promo code Roundabout. One lucky listener each month will be entered to win $100. That has a Ben Franklin on it.
100?
I'm pretty sure it has a Ben Franklin on it.
That's like your whole cell phone bill for a month.
I know. Free. It covers it. Also, remember you can watch Roundabout Live every Friday evening starting at 6:30 p.m. Eastern Time or 3:30 on the West Coast. And don't forget to check out the rest of the Autoline family of fine programs, including Autoline This Week, Autoline After Hours, and, of course, Autoline Daily. And if you want to get in touch with us, or you have a question or comment to get addressed, or some automotive-related question, maintenance or otherwise, get in touch with us on our Google Voice account. The number is 1-559-ROAB-411 or 1-559-762-2411. We love to hear from you. We're on Twitter, twitter.com/roundaboutshow. Also Facebook, it's facebook.com/roundaboutshow. Subscribe if you want. You can never miss an episode then on iTunes or the Zoom Marketplace. Anyway, with that, thanks to all of you out there listening. Please join us again next week as we circle the roundabout. We will talk to you then.
Patootie.
Good show.
That's a show.
Good show, everyone.
Yay.
Yay.
Yay. I am uncertain, so.
I think you're wrong.
Minutia.
That's mine. Get off of my meme.
I thought it was a meme.